The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody. Welcome back. Are you happy that it's raining? I'm happy that it's raining. We needed the rain. A little tiny thought for you here this week. Just a little tiny thought that I hope you find helpful. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth? That is the most unsettling thing Jesus ever said. That is the most haunting question in the New Testament. When the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth? The reason why that's so unsettling is because Jesus asks it as though it's an open question. And it's not supposed to be an open question. Remember this. This is foundational to our Catholic faith. Okay? Foundational to our Catholic faith is the idea that this church was founded by Christ himself and is guaranteed by a divine promise that no human being will ever be able to destroy this faith. It's like what he said to St. Peter in the Gospel of Matthew. "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." No human being will ever be able to destroy this faith. Now, don't misunderstand. Doesn't mean that human beings can't mar this faith and scar this faith and embarrass this faith and diminish this faith and weaken this faith. You know that's happening now. You know that's been happening down through the ages. But you can rest. You can rest in peace knowing that when Jesus comes again, even though there might be some small little core of believers, there's still going to be some people who are left believing, which is so why it's so unsettling that Jesus asks this. When the Son of Man comes, is he going to find any faith on the earth? And the implication is that the answer is supposed to be no. So how are we supposed to make sense out of this? How are we supposed to make sense out of this? Well, understand, Jesus is not speaking about the church as a generality when he says this. Speaking, rather, about you and me as individuals. You hear the voice of God speaking in your heart all day, every day, and you got freedom, and it's up to you, it's up to me, whether you say yes to that voice or whether you say no. That's the challenge. You know, it's you stop and you realize there's only been one guy down through all the ages who's always said yes to the voice of God, and that's, of course, Christ our Lord. It's the only man who ever said yes to every single time that God spoke to him and asked anything of him. The saints, they learned how to say yes, right? So by the end of their lives, they were giving the Lord 100% of their heart, 100% of the time, and we want to become like that too. But in the meantime, you and I, we say yes to God sometimes, and sometimes we tell God maybe. And sometimes we tell God, "I'll get back to you later." And sometimes we say to God a full-throated no. and we choose sin. And this battle that's going on, it's like a battle that's going on in every single heart of every single person all day long right here in this church. It's like there's two armies in your heart. They're waging war against one another. There's the power of your own will, and there's the power of God's will. There's the power of sin and selfishness. There's the power of love and charity. There's the power of virtue. There's the power of vice. Two armies always fighting. One's gaining, one's losing. One's advancing, one's retreating all the time. Which is why this gospel was paired with the first reading that you heard from the book of Exodus. Remember the first reading from the book of Exodus? Rather strange reading. Tells us about Moses and Joshua in the desert fighting against the Amalekites. And Joshua stays down on the ground to fight, and Moses is too old to fight. So he goes up to the top of a mountain, lifts up his hands in prayer, and as long as he has his hands raised up in prayer, Israel has the better of the fight. But his hands get tired, so he puts his hands down. And as soon as his hands go down, Amalek has the better of the fight. Kind of a strange reading, but it's got some great lessons that I would love to share with you about some big realities of the spiritual battle that you're in. Okay, so let me try to share those with you. First thing you got to understand, when you hear an Old Testament reading, you got to know the background. If you don't know the background, it's just not going to make any sense. So here's the background of the first reading. Understand it's from the book of Exodus, and that means that the Israelite people have left slavery in Egypt, and they're going to the promised land, being led by Moses, passing through the desert. Whenever you hear one of those Exodus stories, keep in mind these metaphors, and you'll never go wrong. Slavery in Egypt, it's just like our slavery in sin. Promised land, that's just like God's promise of the kingdom of heaven that we keep yearning for and hoping for. Passage through the desert, that's just like our passage through this life with all of its difficulties. They were led by Moses. We're led by the Lord. I've told you those things before, right? Hopefully that's nothing new. Keep those in mind. You'll never misunderstand one of those Exodus readings. But here's something I haven't told you before, and that is that when they made their way through the desert, they always were fighting. It was a constant fight from the moment they left Egypt. So here they are fighting against this group called the Amalekites. And who the heck are the Amalekites? I'll tell you, historically speaking, the Amalekites were a band of nomadic peoples who controlled the Judean wilderness. And they did not like it when anyone passed through their territory. They didn't like it at all when the Israelites were passing through their territory, right? So Amalekite raiders used to pick off the poorest, the weakest, the children, the elderly, anybody who lagged behind. So they come across Moses and Joshua and all these Israelites making their way, and they break out and they attack them in battle, and the Israelites have no choice but to fight back. Now, these are not military men. These are ex-slaves, right? They hardly have a weapon among them to put up a decent fight. They're experts in making bricks out of straw. That's what they did. But if they don't fight back against the Amalekites, they're going to be destroyed in the wilderness. So they fight back. Joshua stays down on the ground. Moses goes up to the top of the mountain, lifts up his hands in prayer. Now, just as an aside, let me just say this. Whenever you hear an Old Testament story about battles and fighting and people being killed, please understand, as Christians, we understand those metaphorically. I could give you a whole separate homily drawing to that conclusion, okay? I'd need about 10 or 15 more minutes to explain it all, so please forgive me for jumping right to the conclusion. We don't believe in actually fighting anybody with the edge of a sword. We understand that as a metaphor for the spiritual battle. But there's a couple of great lessons that come out of that. Okay, here's the first one. In the spiritual fight, remember, you have to fight to be free. Freedom always comes at the price of struggle, and there is no other way. Notice, the moment the Israelites leave Egypt, they have to fight. Suddenly they're chased by Egypt's chariots and charioteers, and it's nothing but struggle all the way to the promised land. When they were slaves in Egypt, they didn't have to fight. All they had to do was obey their Egyptian overlords. Egyptian slaves were not conscripted into the army. In one sense, it was easy for them back in Egypt. They never had to fight. And in a sense, that's what we're like when we give in to sin. It's easy. Temptation comes along. All you got to do is just obey temptation every time. You never have to put up a struggle. You never have to experience what it's like to struggle and fail. You never have to put forth any effort. It's easy. That's why it's so popular. One of the reasons why so many people want to give in to that. But understand, our Lord said, anybody who lives in sin is a slave of sin. And if you want to know who you were born to be, if you want to know the freedom that God created you to be, understand, you have to fight. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to take effort. That's the first important lesson that we get from that first reading. Here's the second. It always takes both prayer and action. Joshua's down on the ground fighting the fight. Moses is up on top of a mountain lifting up his arms in prayer. Both prayer and action are necessary as we make our way to the promised land. Never one, never just the other. It's like what St. Catherine of Siena once said, pray as though everything depends on God. Act as though everything depends on you. Okay? And of the two, which one's more powerful? You might be inclined to think that your own actions and your own effort matter more, but one of the messages of the first reading is that your prayer is more powerful than your action. It's very counterintuitive for us as Americans. We're so fixated on what we're going to do next and what we're going to fix, for us to stop and to realize that what God does through you and in you by the power of His grace in your prayer is more important than anything you think, anything you speak, and anything that you say. And that's why whenever Moses had his arms raised up in prayer, Israel had the better of the fight. As soon as he gave up on prayer, Amalek had the better of the fight. We persevere and we press on in prayer, even though it's difficult, even though it's terribly difficult to persevere in prayer. And he has his arms extended. That was an Israelite form of blessing. As long as they were under the blessing of prayer, Israel had the better of the fight. But stop and think about this for a moment. Do we know anybody in our faith who ever won a spiritual battle with his arms extended? Does that sound familiar to anybody here? It's our Lord on the cross. It's what the fathers of the church used to say was the image that Moses' hands extended in prayer and winning the spiritual battle speaks to us today as Christians. The ultimate spiritual battle was won over the powers of evil with our Lord's arms extended on the cross. And whenever you fight under the blessing of the cross, you can never lose. How do we do that? Right? Two ways we do that. One is by prayer, one is by action. Here's prayer. It's the prayer of the Mass, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this would be a separate homily for me to explain. But every time you attend Mass, mystically speaking, you are present at our Lord's crucifixion. The Mass isn't just a little meal, a little prayer we gather together. This is Christ's own prayer to his Heavenly Father. There was an old Negro spiritual they used to sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" If you devoutly attend Mass, your answer is yes. Be here the same way you would be at the foot of Calvary. Take your needs, your petitions, your weaknesses, your hopes, your dreams, your contrition, put them right up there on that altar. Pray through the priest and with the priest. That's the greatest spiritual power you have. The most important prayer in any of our lives is happening right here at this altar. But there's also action. To be under our Lord's blessing means that you and I will sacrifice like he did. It's important to remember that every time we do that, whenever anything in us dies in sacrifice, something greater, more powerful, and more beautiful rises in its place. If you're struggling with anger, then you let that anger die. You know what rises in its place? The power of forgiveness. A lot of people struggling with lust. And if you let that die, you know what rises in its place? It's the ability to love and respect the presence of God in your fellow man. A lot of people, all of us, struggling with ego. And if you let that die, what rises in its place is the power of charity. Struggling, sacrificing, always is an imitation of our Lord's dying and rising. Anything that we give to our Lord always comes back with a stronger and more powerful blessing. When you fight under the banner of our Lord's cross, spiritually speaking, you can never lose. It's tough. It's very, very tough. And you have to persevere. Did you hear our psalm response for the day? It's something we need to say to ourselves over and over again. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I think that's something we need to repeat to ourselves all the time. You feel overwhelmed? Feel overwhelmed by maybe your own weakness. You feel overwhelmed, you know, you look around the world and it's a great big mess. Everywhere you look, it's a disaster, right? You feel overwhelmed by it. You feel overwhelmed maybe by somebody in your own life who you're struggling with. I mean, they keep beating you down. And you feel overwhelmed. If you feel overwhelmed, remember, you've forgotten where your help comes from. Your help and my help comes from the guy who made the universe, the one who holds the stars in their courses, the one who controls the rising and the setting of the sun. Your help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Tap into that help. Persevere in prayer, like our Lord says here in the gospel, and never quit. He warns his apostles how tempting it is to quit, and there's nothing more that he or I can say other than persevere in the name of the Lord, persevere. That's why our Lord ends this gospel with the most ominous question in all the New Testament. When the Son of Man comes, will we find any faith on the earth? That question remains unanswered because the answer depends on you.